T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. By the way, this is such a great scene in Almost Famous. Coming across the bridge in New York with this song rolling. All right, Sirianni. A lot of conversation about Nick Sirianni, how we feel about him after year one, the whole deal. There's also the reality that he was on the radio station about 4 hours ago as a guest of Angelo's show in the morning, and they covered a lot of topics with their season-ending interview. So let's listen to it. We'll play it in its entirety. Then, of course, you can react to what you hear. So listen and react. Sirianni this morning with Angelo.
Mr. Nick Sirianni. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angelo.
All right, Nick, a lot of ground. I had a couple of leftover questions from the game, Nick, so I'll get right
sure,
to that.
Sure, shoot.
The deferring at opening after you won the coin toss. What went into that decision, Nick?
Yeah, everything we do, we go into great detail of how we go about those things. And so making the deferring in that first half, like every little detail matters in big games, and every game in the NFL is a big game. Every game comes, there's so many games that come down to one score. So we're always looking for an advantage. So what really went into that is that wind was pretty wild there that during that game. And if you were on that field and saw the kickers kicking and you saw the quarterbacks throwing into the wind when it was into the wind, it was a pretty strong wind. And we knew that going into the game. And then, you know, we felt that as we were on the field. So, excuse me. So we wanted to defer in the sense of, one reason is to not give them the win the first possession or the first quarter, and so we had the win the first quarter. The second thought that always goes into that is, you know, when you're at an away game, when you're playing an away game, that stadium's loud, and that was stadium, and there was a lot of fans there. I know we had a lot of fans there too, but that stadium was loud, and you know, when you get the ball in the second half, everyone's still getting a hot dog, a beer, whatever, and it's not quite as loud when you get that second drive. So those two possessions would have been really important for us. And then we kind of go into a thing where we talk about being able to double dip. And as you saw, you know, we were down 17-0, but we were driving the score on our last possession right there. Now we ended up turning the ball over, it didn't work out, and then, you know, didn't score the next drive, but you know, we were feeling pretty good about, you know, being able to drive down and score and then score again. We've done that in two games this year that kind of put games away. We did that in the Jets game. We did that in the Washington game at home where we called double dipped. Hey, it didn't work out. So I get it. You know, when I'm the head coach and every decision we make, I have to live with the consequences. It didn't work out. So it looks bad. If it worked out, it would have looked good. Hey, I get the consequences of my decisions.
Nick, are you saying no wind, maybe a different decision on that?
Maybe a different decision on that because of the wind. I mean, it was blowing. It was howling. I mean, it was completely different range for the kickers going one direction than the other direction. And it was completely different how you were going to call a quarter with the pass game as well.
Well, I got to ask you about late in the second quarter, 4th and 10. I looked at this play a dozen times, Nick, because I'm convinced that the primary option there was Jalen Reagor. Was he the first option on that 4th and 10 play?
You're convinced that the field stop was the primary option? That's interesting.
Well, he didn't take much time before he unloaded the ball.
Yeah, well, because he's got to look at the coverage first.
Right.
And so here's what happened, Angelo. The play before it, they played cover seven. And so let me tell you what cover seven is. Cover seven is when they double your two best players. And so they put two guys on Dallas Goedert. They put two guys on Devontae Smith. And, hey, they got Cave cover seven. They did not show any cover seven on fourth down. So we called a play that, and that was third down, obviously it was cover seven. They come out and they played cover four on fourth down. It looked like cover seven to Jalen. It looked like cover seven to me too. So my eyes were going out to the field because in cover seven, now again, like I said, it was cover four, but those two coverages look alike. But in cover seven, you always got to find the single. And the guys that were singled on that play were Quez up the seam. Who would have been single on that play was Quez up the seam, Jalen on the outside, and you're back because they doubled the other two guys. And they spy the quarterback on cover seven too, so it's hard to go and run for a first down. So that's the thought process of what happened. The play is not designed in that particular case with the field stop to Jalen Reagor, but quarterback, myself, we all thought in that situation that's what they were playing because it looked similar. And hey, you know, it didn't work out. We need to run a better route. I thought the ball was pretty good. Thought the route needed to be a little bit better. And those are things that, you know, that we talked about with our players.
Nick, I'm going to level with Jalen Reagor, right? Because he's a lightning rod for me and some fans. He's had a fairly prominent role with the team for 2 years now. You're a wide receiver coach. You know that position as well as anybody. And you called him an extreme talent yesterday. What are you seeing in him that we're not, Nick? He's given you very little production.
He, you know, with Jalen, I'll say a couple things. Again, I'm always looking for our positives in our players, and when you do that as a coach, and you've got to do that as a coach, and you look for the positives and you see how you can use them. So Jalen's not in this alone. You know, I'm not doing a good enough job of getting him better. I'm not doing a good enough job of getting him the football. But let me talk about a couple things here with this. We're a running football team, as we know. You know, the city knows that. You know that. We know that. We're a running football team. When we pass the ball, you know, the game plan goes through Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and then the third option is Quez Watkins. I mean, there's no secret to that. I mean, you guys see our stats. You know what our stats look like. So that's the progression of how it goes. So Jalen is not getting a lot of opportunities. Now, in the past in Jalen's career, right, at TCU in high school, he's been the guy, right, where he's gotten all the opportunities. You feed him the football, and that's just not the case here. So what I think Jalen, again, he's got a lot of talent in his body. Where I think Jalen needs to be better is, hey, you're not going to get 10 catches. You're not going to get 10 opportunities in a game. You might get two or three. You got to make those two or three count. Right now, he's not doing that. We'd expect more from that. You know, he's not making those two and three count. And we got to do a better job as coaches of making him be able to help him make those plays. And so again, I'm never going to put it on the player where we're always in this together. But you know, my main thing is when we are giving Jalen those opportunities, us as coaches and Jalen himself have to take advantage of those opportunities because we know that there's just not a lot. There's not a lot to be had, and that's just different for him these past 2 years. Again, I don't know what happened last year as much, but this year, you know, he had that was just a little bit different. You know, it's kind of like a basketball player. Like in college, you get 30 shots, right? But then you go to the NBA, and hey, you don't get as many of those shots. So you got to take advantage of those opportunities, and that's hard for guys to do sometimes. And it just takes a little bit of time. But I do see extreme talent in him. But that's my main criticism right there.
I got you, Nick. I got some general stuff just because this was a heck of a journey the first year. How much more comfortable were you by the end of the season than when you first started? A lot different as on the sideline?
Yeah. I think, you know, our mission and our talk to the team every day is how do you get a little bit better each day, right, Angelo? How do we get better today? How do we get better today? How do we get better today? And as the head football coach, you can't just talk about it. You have to be about it, right? You have to be showing the signs that you're getting better every day. So in every aspect of, you know, from game planning to media to anything, messaging to the team, I felt like that's what my mission was, to get a little bit better each day. It's just been my kind of how I was raised in football, like, and in life in general by my parents, like, just work on getting better and being the best version of yourself. Get better. And hey, what do you think? Do you think I'm a little bit better in the media than I was when I first started off?
Hell yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it, Nick. A lot better. But overall, yeah, I'm just wondering, like, what of everything that happened this year, what are you the proudest of?
You know, one thing that you never want to start 2-5, right? You never want to be in that boat. And, you know, I remember in my interview process, I talked about, hey, adversity hit us as in the Colts in 2018. We were 1-5, and we didn't look too far ahead, and we just stayed in the moment, and we overcame, and we doubled down on the things we knew were true. And then we were forced to live that this year. Again, you don't want to have to live that, but we were. And I think I'm the most proud of is the fact that I didn't let myself look at the mountain top, right? I didn't, and now we didn't reach the mountain top, but I didn't let myself look at the mountain and say, "Holy smokes, I gotta climb this thing right here." I just kind of wanted to focus, and the guys wanted to focus on, you know, the next game, the next practice, the next walkthrough, the next everything, and just doing what you can do there. And I think that's such a great life lesson that, you know, I'm hopefully that a lot our guys, you know, carry with them for the rest of their lives, right? And we're going to go through crap in our lives. We all know that. We're all going to go through crap in our lives. And, hey, you know, when you look at it as a whole, like, man, this is going to be whatever it is. If somebody gets sick or, you know, somebody, you know, you go through a tragedy in your family, like, to get over that mountain, right, that seems daunting, but you don't do it all in one day. You don't do it all in 1 hour. You do it moment by moment by moment by moment to get through tough times. And I just think that's why I love this sport so much. It's such a good thing to kind of help you get ready for outside things, things outside of football and life. And I think that's what I'm most proud of, Angelo.
Nick, there's one thing that I noticed from watching football all these years from this vantage point. You won over a lot of players who weren't that much younger than you. Yeah, you're a young guy coming in, and you had a lot of veterans on your team, and they bought in very early. How'd you do that?
You know, I don't want to say won over. I just, I just went in there every day, and I just was myself. And I think, you know, some of the things that we talk about with our core values are connecting, competing, accountability, football IQ, and fundamentals. Like, those are things that are important to us. And I think when you talk about that and you talk about it in the way we do over and over and over again, and you're energetic about it, enthusiastic about it, like, we're not saying anything that's crazy, right? I mean, hey, the teams that connect the best, you know, do the best. The teams that compete the best are the better teams that you've been on. The teams that have accountability, et cetera, all those things. Like, it's not like I'm saying something crazy and wild, right? Like, it's these five things that we all know to be true. And so, you know, we just double down on that in times of triumph and in times of adversity. And, you know, I think just this organization and the players that we have on this football team, I just think the world of these guys, and I just had a great group of guys, you know, to have my first NFL season as a head coach with.
From afar, I think one of the things that helped you there was the support you got from Jason Kelce, who's been one of the great, great players we've ever had in this town. How hard will you try to convince him to come back, Nick?
Yeah, I sent him 2 kegs of beer yesterday. You know what? He's awesome, and I've told him how much, you know, we want him back, and he's unbelievable leader. He's an like, everything you hear about Jason Kelce. If you don't know Jason Kelce personally, everything you hear about him is as advertised. He's awesome. He's a great leader. He's a great player. He's the backbone of this team. He's so smart as a football player. Like, he's what makes he makes us go as a team. And so, as long as Jason wants to play, I think in the middle of the year I said, "You got 5 more years in you." And we laughed about it. But, like, as long as he wants to go, we want him to go. And I'll be trying to convince him every single day that I can to come back and play. And we'll see how it goes. And, you know, ultimately, Jason's got to do what's best for himself and best for his family. But, you know, we would love the opportunity to have Jason Kelce back on this football team to help us lead the way again.
Nick, do you have a big regret in your first season?
You know, I what I was taught early on, and I guess this by my parents, right, also, is just make decisions. And I just think about my parents saying this to me all the time, regardless of what it was. You know, make a decision, go with it, and then, hey, live with the consequences of those decisions. And don't regret things. Sure, you're going to want play calls back. You're going to want different things, different conversations that you have with players back, et cetera, but, you know, you're going to make mistakes. And I made mistakes. I made plenty of mistakes. But, you know, there's always, just like the first question you asked me, Angelo, about deferring that first part. Like, if my why is strong, right, if I go in to make a decision and I just throw a decision on the board, and I'm like, hey, I'm making this decision, right, then you can regret. But if you have a strong why of why you're doing things, which I feel like that I do and I feel like our coaching staff does, then you can live with decisions, right or wrong, knowing, like, hey, I believed in this. This is what I believed in. I believed in deferring in that first half. Did it work? No. I believed in that play call on fourth and 10. Did it work? No. But my why was strong in it. And so that leads you away from, you know, having regrets. And that's something I just feel like I had great parents. I have great parents. At every home game there is still to this day, whether I'm in Indianapolis or in Philadelphia or San Diego, they're at home games. They have season tickets. And so, I attribute that to them. And so I don't live with regrets.
Nick, last thing, what did you learn about Philadelphia as a sports city in your first year?
Oh man, it was awesome. It was awesome. Whether I'm, you know, at that stadium and the support that we're getting and the energy we're getting from there. I mean, I can't tell you the last time we've scored. I've been in a game where we scored a touchdown, and I'm fist pumping with the fans. Like, I don't think I've done that since I played college football, because it's just so much energy coming for you. You can't help but do that. And so, man, and then just, you know, when you're out and about with your family and the support. I mean, hey, the passion, the support, it's unbelievable. And so, it's by far the best place I've ever been, as a, you know, in my professional life. And shoot, I grew up in the Jamestown, New York area, Buffalo area, and they talk about those fans all the time about how passionate they are. It ain't even close. It's not even close. This city's unbelievable. I look forward to, unfortunately, our season's over, as we all know, but I look forward to going to a Flyers game and seeing the passion there, and going to a Sixers game and seeing the passion there. And then this summer, you know, going to the Phillies game and seeing the passion there and cheering on these teams. I look forward to going to see some Villanova basketball games and Temple basketball games. So it's just, what a great sports town. It's as advertised, and I love it here. And I just want to keep getting this team better so we can give our fans something to be proud of.
It was a fun season, Nick. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you after every game, and this, what you've done here today for us. I really appreciate it, and I wish you even a better season next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Angelo. Appreciate you, too.
All right, there he is, Nick Sirianni, this morning with Angelo. Your opportunity to react, 215-592-9494. Look, he's clearly a good dude. He's someone that we can be proud to have as a Philadelphia coach. I mean, we all root for him. Again, as I said earlier, while I was encouraged by some things, I think I was generally more discouraged by more things with his first year as the head coach. But candidly, you know, I think it's still wide open. I mean, this thing could go in any direction. I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see where it goes. Let's get reaction. What you heard here from Sirianni and his first season, 215-592-9494. By the way, in no way do I mean to talk so much about Sirianni to the detriment of conversation about Embiid, because Embiid, flat out after that game last night, deserves unbelievable due, not just with what he did last night, but with what he's done in recent weeks, in recent months. And let's be real, the best player in Philly sports. I mean, in all due respect to Bryce Harper, who's the second best player, Joel Embiid, because of his consistency now for four straight years of greatness, is the best player in Philly sports. And if you were at the game last night, watching on TV, we want to hear from you on the greatness of Embiid. 215-592-9494, because that really was one of Embiid's best games ever. And that's saying something, because he's had a lot of great games. Let's go to Sean right now. Yo, Sean.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Sean.
Good. Hey, you know, the word that best describes my feeling for Sirianni right now is hopeful. Hmm. And I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit, because in this world we live in where we want instant gratification, we want information at our fingertips, and we want everything now, we just need to hold the phone, because we don't know if we've got a guy that's going to be great here, and we don't know if we got a guy who's going to, you know, fall on his face and be out of the league. So I think we just need to give him some time, but he does need to dial it back when he starts talking about Rager and TCU and high school, and the guy's got talent. And
I want to talk about that when you're done.
He needs to slow that down, because, you know, he's one minute he's got me during the interview, and then the next minute he loses me because he simply talks too damn much about somebody that we know is not performing.
I think it's a good point.
What should he have said? Like, I guess he should have said, Jalen had a terrible year. We need better from him. We will get better from him. We've discussed it, and he's positive about where we're headed. Like, imagine if he would have said, you know, because I had a problem with it too. You know, I had a problem with the extreme talent or whatever when
yesterday.
He said that yesterday. Yeah. And when Angelo followed up, you know, should he have said, well, Angelo, you know, our GM decided to take a guy in Jalen Rager.
Well, he's not going to say that.
That's my point. Yeah. He's defending Howie Roseman. My GM took a guy who his, you know, last year at TCU had 43 catches for 611 yards over a guy from LSU who had 1,540 yards and 18 touchdowns on 111 catches.
Four touchdowns in the national championship game, too.
Four touchdowns in the biggest stage, Justin Jefferson. Oh, and that guy, Justin Jefferson, like Jalen Rager had under 300 yards receiving this year. Justin Jefferson has over 3,000 yards in his first 2 years. That's all on the GM. Like, Nick Sirianni had no say on that decision. He's just got this guy to work with. And he's trying his best as the company guy to defend the choice, the miserable choice of a GM who made the wrong pick.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just like I said, just dial it back a little bit. Give me a little more truth there. You know, you don't have to bury the guy, but he's not the second coming either.
I think your assessment is fair, Sean. I get John's point, but Sean, I vibe with what you're saying also. Just don't make the fans, you know, cringe when you talk about them. Yeah. Sean,
fandom.
Give me something that's back. A lot of big answers here. Things back in society. Maybe never fully went away, but back with more relevancy. What do you got?
You know, I think the pandemic brought these back. It certainly did in our household here as board games.
You know, so are they back enough to be back, John? You know me. I don't think they are back. I don't totally know, because I'm not hanging around a bunch of 10-year-olds, but I just know this. They're awesome, but they've lost so much, you know, role in society because of the phone, the TV, Netflix,
I do think you hear people tell that story, though. At least the pandemic brought
it
back somewhat.
A couple, like, 2 months.
I don't know.
Like the puzzle. Remember when other people other than me were doing puzzles?
When you were not the only loser doing puzzles.
March to May of 2020. Yes. Like, it's not like that really
continued. No, I think you're probably right.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Reed right now in media. What's up, Reed?
What's going on? I'm here talking some Joel Embiid.
Yeah, let's do it, man. That was unbelievable last night. And they, by the way, they needed him because, you know, they didn't exactly play a phenomenal game otherwise for a good while there.
No. So I was at the game, right?
Yep.
And the first half was not very good. Mo Bamba
absolutely
killed the Sixers. Every time he caught the ball, you knew it was in. So they were down 10, and he absolutely dominated the third quarter and put the team on his back.
Yeah.
Every time he caught the ball, it was in.
Did he have 2 20-point quarters?
Yeah, I think he did.
First and the third, for sure.
Yeah.
He had 4 in the second quarter, and he had 24 in the third quarter and 3 in the final quarter.
They were his 2 highest-scoring quarters ever, I believe.
Yes. It was insane.
Well, he's just an amazing player, Reed. I mean, you know, I don't quite know where he ranks as far as recent Philly sports history, but I know this. He has put himself in a position where conversations about Embiid versus Iverson versus Barkley are warranted. I mean,
Absolutely. And
that's where also, Reed, though, and I don't mean to skew negative because, believe me, I'm super psyched with what he brings to the table and what he can do for the Sixers, but I don't want to see the Sixers waste his talents the way Barkley's talents were wasted. I saw it happen. I mean, I saw the whole Barkley thing, and it was a waste of a top five player. And I just don't want to see all of us as Philadelphia sports fans have to deal with that again.
Yeah, I mean, if a player is unguardable like that, I mean, you got to win a championship with him.
I mean, you at least got to go further. I mean, they've only gotten to the second round. Reed, give me something that's back.
I'm going to backpack on the last caller's answer, and I'm going to go with chess.
Yes.
Chess.
Queen's Gambit.
It did help.
That's
it.
That's true.
It was a thing.
It was a thing.
Like, people were playing chess.
I bought Amy chess food for Christmas.
I think that's a good answer.
I bought her a chess set because of the Queen's Gambit.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know. John, the Embiid thing, you know, there's an aspect to this. We used to talk about more frequently. We haven't kind of touched base with this issue, if you will. It feels like in maybe a couple months. The way he's playing now, I think, should give all of us hope and, you know, maybe belief that you probably have a longer runway with the Embiid prime than we used to think. I mean, we used to think, let's make a deal with the devil. Hey, just give me 4 great years of Embiid, and I'll be satisfied as a Philly sports fan. Because I don't even know if I'm going to get 4. I might only get 2. A guy can play great for 30 games. His foot falls off. And, you know, something happens, and that's it. I mean, this guy now is in his 5th straight year of greatness. Mm-hmm. While he does show windows of time where he's not as great, because I think he still has that get out of shape fast thing, maybe because he's 7'2". The reality is, John, as I project the next, let's call it 3 or 4 years, I think they still have a good runway with him for the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, he is at such an exceptional level, it strikes me as unlikely that he's suddenly so much less 2 or 3 years from now. Agree or disagree?
I am not sold on him staying healthy. I'm very worried about that. I mean, yeah, it feels right now like we're riding a wave of good fortune from an injury perspective with Joel. But it does seem like, you know, every other year there have been major hiccups in the health department that I do think they build up. Right now, it doesn't seem like the knee, the meniscus, is giving him problems at all.
At all.
Which is great. You know, I think that's pretty miraculous because it doesn't feel like he had anything done in the offseason from a surgical perspective. So, you know, hey, whatever you did, thank you. And it seems like everything's working well. But, no, I can't say because he's playing awesome now, he now has an extended shelf, like
especially as he gets older. I mean, that's like, what happens when you get older.
What makes you say that other than you just feel really good about Joel Embiid the way he's playing?
Well, I'll tell you what, because he's actually not sitting out of games this year much at all for injury sake. I mean, he had the COVID thing.
He's at his physical peak in terms of age, like 27, 28. That's when you're like at your peak of your physical powers.
I get it.
So we're talking 3 years from now. Like that, I'm concerned still.
Yeah, I don't think it means.
I'm not saying I'm unconcerned. I'm just saying I'm a lot less concerned than I used to be.
Well, it's in the back of my mind now because of the way he's playing. It's glorious the way he's playing, but I'm aware that, you know, next week something could crop up and he might get slowed down.
James, let me ask you a question. Rank them. Embiid, Barkley, Iverson.
Oh, man. I mean, that's
A Twitter poll question.
Like, are we talking in their prime or are we talking career? Because you have to – if you're
we're not talking career because Embiid hasn't had a full career, so you can't talk career.
So in the moment
– better player. Who's the best
player? I think Barkley was the best of the three, personally. I think it's still Barkley, Iverson, and Embiid, but I think it's really close.
It's really close.
I mean, I think Embiid is at high end. Embiid's top is better than Iverson's top. I'll say that.
Embiid gives you a lot on defense that Iverson didn't get.
That's the point. He gives you much more of a all around game.
Now, Barkley was. I've always put Barkley over Iverson. It's close, but I think Barkley was better than Iverson. A lot of people disagree with me on that. Embiid might be better than both of them. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Let's talk to Mike right now in Erie. Good afternoon, Mike.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Doing well, Mike.
Hey, just wanted to chime in on Sirianni. I like the guy.
Yeah,
he's a player's coach. And, John, you were a player, and you know if you trust the coach, you're willing to go through a wall for this guy. And I think that's where we're at, really. Mm-hmm. It's unrealistic for us to expect, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl in the first year. No, he built a good foundation. The guys trust him. Now all Howie has to do is become a talent evaluator and hit on these picks, and we should be good to go. I have no problems with Sirianni. Absolutely none.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, how do you have
I'm much more worried about Howie. I feel like Nick Sirianni outperformed my expectations this season. It's not even
absolutely
close.
Absolutely.
But I'm surprised, Mike, that you have no – what was the term you said?
Yeah, I do have my doubts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot is still up in the air.
He's a first-year coach. I'm gonna give him –
Yeah, and I think he'll be better next year.
I think he will, too. Yeah.
I'm going to give him the same deal I gave Chip Kelly and Doug Peterson and Andy Reid. But there's hope. But, John, I am with you on Howie. You know, he does great with the salary cap, trading and everything. But he always wants to be the smartest guy in the room. And even when he makes a mistake, like Rager, he won't admit to it. So, I can't trust the guy. If you can't admit that you're wrong sometimes, I can't trust you.
All right, Mike, something that's back. What do you got?
With COVID hitting and everything, the sit-down family dinner.
The sit-down family dinner, is it, John? I don't think so.
I think we sit down at the house more than run around and grab food while we're out and about. I mean, you couldn't go out and about for the longest time.
Yeah, but I'm not judging this just based on 2020 and that. I mean,
no, I think there's been a bit more.
Okay.
I'm sit down stuff where right. I'm cooking in the house.
Well,
we're all sitting.
Cook for me sometime, man.
No.
Help me out, man.
I'm not cooking well.
All right, well, then don't cook for
me. Using the air fryer to air fry.
All right, let's go to Dan in Collegeville. Hey, Dan.
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Dan.
John, I'm going to make my point by just, like, making a small correction to something you just said. Howie Roseman didn't draft Jalen Rager. Jeffrey Lurie drafted Jalen Rager. And I think it's the perfect example of how, like, we're just going to be in Groundhog's Day, you know, until, like, we've, you know, the actual, you know, issues addressed. And I think the only difference between us right now and, like, for example, the Cowboys, you know, you talked about it a few minutes ago, Jerry Jones apparently found somebody who can draft, and he listens to him, I guess. So, you know, I don't know what to –
Well, there's also the chance, Dan, after 20 years, Jerry Jones just got it right with a couple picks. I mean, it doesn't mean he's a good GM. He just – if you're going to draft for 20 years, eventually you're going to have some good picks.
No, well, the reports are that, you know, like his son or whoever else is
doing more.
Having bigger say. Okay. Steven has more say, and they're sort of reining him in. Like,
gotcha.
When he wants to go get Johnny Manziel, right, they're saying, whoa, pops.
It's his ability to listen to somebody that I'm convinced Jeffrey Lurie just doesn't have.
Could be.
That's possible.
Yeah, it is possible.
And for something that's back, I'm going to go with drive-in movies.
Drive-in movies. Not back enough, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think
so. I haven't
so.
Been to one.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I actually thought during the pandemic it could become more of a thing. Actually, I went to a – and I don't think it really did. I went to a movie about a week or two ago.
Oh, yeah?
What'd
you see?
I don't remember the name of it. It was –
Who goes to a movie 2 weeks ago?
It was pretty
good.
It was pretty good.
How do you not remember the name?
I don't remember.
That is
– Rasputin was in it.
What?
Rasputin was in it. Yeah, the Tsar, Tsar Nicholas was in it. Someone help me out with what that this new movie is. Pretty good.
Who's in it?
Oh, I don't know the actors and actors. I mean, I don't remember them. Maybe I would know
Did
them.
Did you sleep?
No.
Actually went to a movie theater, bought a ticket, said, I'll take a ticket for movie X.
Yeah.
And now, 2 weeks later, you don't remember.
It was related to World War One. I honestly don't remember the movie.
Who are you, dude?
I'm Joe DeCamera.
I believe you. Yeah. I believe you.
I don't even remember the premise of the movie right now, but it was pretty solid.
Wow.
That's
gone too far.
Guys, you got to remember, I've told you before, there's only so much RAM in this
head.
You
don't remember the premise of
the
movie.
Dude, you saw this movie 2 weeks ago.
What's the point in going to see a movie if you can't remember the title, if you can't remember the
premise?
Clearly
not that entertained.
And you don't know who was in it.
Someone help me out, please.
The name or the premise? I mean, that's like unbelievable.
Yeah, I really don't. All right, let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Yo, Chuck.
How do you know you liked it if you can't remember the
name? Great point, John Ritchie.
I didn't love it, but I liked it. I did. Chuck.
How do you know?
Yo, it's John. What's
Chuck.
Up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, what's up, my boy?
Chuck.
Already. What's up, John? How you feeling, buddy?
Great.
Hey, listen. Here's the situation. I wasn't going to call up today, but I heard you guys talking about Embiid, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to him and Iverson, mm-hmm. he's not on the Iverson level yet. He's just not. I seen Allen Iverson have the Wachovia Center rocking in June.
Well, I agree with that reason, Chuck. That's the reason, because Embiid has not yet done it in the playoffs. Hasn't even stayed healthy, except for the one time they got swept in four games to Boston in the playoffs. So I agree with you. I would say it's still Iverson because of playoff success.
Playoff success is everything. And that guy had a feeling in his city that I've never felt when he came to the Sixers. This guy had everybody in the city rocking.
Yep.
So
Chuck, I'll tell you something. I was very encouraged by last night. And Embiid has gone there a couple times this year. When he was asked after the game in the press conference about his spot in greatness and all, because he had a weird thing where, like, I can be Jordan, I can be this, I can be that. But what he's saying is stylistically, I can do different things. And he clarified that. But I liked how he basically said, none of it means anything unless we win in the playoffs, unless I win in the playoffs. And that it was a very mature answer that told me, you know, we know he desperately wants to win. I mean, Chuck, he's not going to cry leaving the court in Toronto 3 years ago if his heart's not into it. His heart's always been into it. But hopefully now he even knows more about how to do it, because he obviously to this point hasn't been able to go the distance yet.
Well, here's the thing, right? This is where it comes with Daryl Morey comes in at. Yes, get a guy a little help. He's going to have an opportunity to do it in the playoffs. You know what I mean? This year. Now let's see what you got to beat. You're in your sixth, seventh year now. Now you started going to the prime of your career, buddy.
You're right.
Now it's time to translate this greatness into the playoffs.
Well said, Chuck.
To a conference finals. Hey, then I can pitch you above or at least on Iverson's level.
I think that's fair, Chuck. Give me something that's back.
Hold on real quick. Rager.
Yeah.
Rager to me. Only thing that's talented about records when he's picked that little ball, when he put the ball around his waist to give it to the referee. That's the only thing that's talented.
he does like to do that.
Does that pretty well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He does.
He has that down pat.
Yeah, it's like a basketball ball handling.
It is.
Little drill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's kind
the one time around.
All right, Chuck.
Look how fancy I am.
Something back. What do you got?
Hey, listen. This thing is worth a lot of money now, and it's gold. Gold has been is that
it's a great answer.
Now.
All right, we're
that is
going
a great
gold.
Answer. It really is. He's right.
So
it was not nearly as big a thing, and it came back.
But we're not on the gold standard, right? This is the
whole, we're not doing the Williams Jennings Bryan or whatever.
And who was that?
The cross of silver or whatever.
Yeah, who was that? Was it
Williams Jennings Bryan?
No, but I'm going more recent. Rand Paul or the other Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Father
kid.
Paul, I think.
Ron? It was Ron?
Ron Paul wanted us on the
By
gold
the
set.
Way,
yeah.
The Kingsman. I had like four people
yes.
call it.
It's a good movie, man.
Well, you never saw Kingsman? It's like the prequel to the Kingsman movie. The Kingsman is great. It's super fun.
So this movie was really good, too.
I'm sure it is. Ralph Fiennes?
You guys would like it.
How'd you not know Ralph Fiennes was in it?
I couldn't remember the other movies. Okay. Well,
yeah, the other movies are super fun. No, obviously he hasn't. He didn't even know it was a thing.
No.
He doesn't even know.
Hey, let me
They're great, right? They're super fun, the Kingsman movies.
He doesn't even know. That can apply in so many ways with Joe.
Hey,
he doesn't even
I'll
know.
Tell you what I do know. You want to move?
So we
Joe,
do the
he doesn't even know the camera.
I don't like
Joe,
that.
Hey, you need to write that
know.
Down,
write
man.
That one down.
That's a
Joe,
great nickname.
He doesn't even know.
Okay, that's phenomenal.
Joe,
wow.
He doesn't even know. Hey, I'll tell you what I do know. Movie recommendation. If you're a fan of the
I got a movie recommendation for you. I don't know the title. I don't know what it's about.
I know the title.
But you'll love it. It's great.
No, here it is. And I won't say anything to give anything away. But if you're a fan of the – it wasn't a great show, but it was a good show. If you're a fan of the show Ray Donovan, the new Ray Donovan movie out on Showtime is very good. So check that out. It's worth it. It's very
I never saw that.
Very solid.
I saw the first season, Ray Donovan. It was okay.
A lot of people started and veered off Ray Donovan.
Hey, did you see that Ozark season 4 is coming
tomorrow
on
night.
The 21st?
Tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow night.
Wow, that is tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, tomorrow. John, it's in my notes. I mean, literally, I have Ozark exclamation point for tomorrow.
I think I might watch. I've never seen Ozark. That's one of those ones
James,
I got to watch. That and Yellowstone are the two that everyone keeps saying I need to watch. I think I like Ozark more than Yellowstone. I'm not a big ranch western guy. It's okay.
I put Ozark a little bit above Yellowstone.
Good,
I think they are
going to watch Ozark.
They are both very quality. They're not Game of Thrones, Wire, Sopranos level, but they are next level. They're very, very
good. I'm going to watch Ozark. I'll make that my thing.
All right, let's go to Bill right now in Gibbstown. What's up, Bill? Bill. Billy.
Oh,
yeah.
William. Is this William?
Yeah, you there?
Hey, Willie.
Hey, 60-time caller. First time on, man.
There you go.
Great. Thank you.
Shit, boy.
215-592-9494. Let's talk to Brandon right now. Brandon, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Good, buddy.
Good, good. First-time caller, Joe and John. Love the show.
Thanks, Brandon.
Real quick, I want to comment on the Coach Sirianni interview. I think everybody should agree. It's a great first year for a head coach, but the jury is still out on this dude.
For sure. Yeah.
My 2 points regarding that. Did anybody see that? Didn't have you guys talked about the Eagles having the easiest schedule in the league?
It felt like the easiest. Was it quantified? Like, did they put something out there for sure it was easiest?
I could have swore I heard that. But then my second point is I listen to you guys a lot. I haven't really heard anybody talk about this. 6 of the Eagles' wins have come against teams that went 23-61-1.
Look, we know it. I mean, I didn't know that exact number, but yeah, they feasted on bad teams.
And it was even further than that, Brandon. I mean, the circumstances surrounding the games against some of the teams couldn't have been better.
Well, the Washington game
from
was a
injury
joke.
Or COVID perspective, you know, like when you face the Panthers without McCaffrey and the Saints without Kamara, that really helps your chances. It was
exactly.
The easiest schedule I've ever paid attention to a team having. Like I don't remember anything like that.
It's up
it was
there.
Like every week.
It's up there.
Fortune favored us.
I know.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, that's just the big thing. As I listen to you guys talk about them, I'm like, has nobody pointed this out? They beat up on. Like,
no,
we
pointed out. We pointed out a ton, Brandon. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. But yeah, and then a thing that seems to be back.
Yep.
I'm gonna go with acid wash jeans. Have a good day, guys.
Right. No way. Know. They can't be back.
James, are rolling?
I think they are. I'll double check. I think he's right about that. I'll check.
Okay. All right.
Holy cow.
So his point that he started the call with about, you know, the jury's still out on Sirianni, and I agree with him. I think most people would say, hey, I don't really know if Sirianni's a great coach. I don't really think he's a bad coach. I'm not sure. That's why we framed our Twitter poll question of the day today the way we did, because most people would be somewhere in the middle. So we said, well, let's do a question about are you more encouraged or discouraged based on what you saw. So, John, to that point, Twitter poll question of the day, which do you feel more about with Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach after the first season? A, encouraged, or B, discouraged? Where do you think the voting results came in on this one on Twitter?
I think this is going to be pretty overwhelming. You know, like 86% encouraged.
For the second straight day, you're off by 1 percentage point. Well done. 85% say encouraged.
Wow.
And here's the thing. I think I might have been there, John, had it not been for the way they lost to Tampa. But that loss to Tampa, I think, tipped me the other way. I mean, both because they got blown out and because he was seemingly incapable or unwilling to have some basic differences with the offense.
Look, there were – you're calling for adjustments and that sort of thing.
Of course.
When you listen to that interview with Angelo this morning –
Yep.
Did you hear the way he got, like, a little bit sassy with Angelo?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Angelo challenged him on, like,
scheme.
I don't know,
targeting.
He's like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. You think that, huh?
Yeah.
He really called Angelo out. The guy knows football. And I think you can see in what he does, like, he's trying to put his guys in. Now, I didn't like the way he bunched it up and tried to run against Tampa, but he does – he's smart. I don't know if he's smart, like out in the world smart. I know he's pretty smart football smart, and I'm willing to suspend my, well, doubts until I see what he does next year, because I do think – this offseason is going to be a major growth offseason for his quarterback. I do think they're going to add a legitimate wide receiver to help his quarterback. And you got to expect, like I've been saying, you're going to have 6+ new starters on the defensive side of the football, which then allows our defense to do more things.
I will say this, though. I think you're being a little easy on him. I do, as it pertains to the game. I mean, Ray took like a sledgehammer to Sirianni's coaching in the playoff game, and a lot of people did.
Look, it drove me nuts.
It was bad.
It was bad over top of bad, and Jalen Hurts was like offensively poor.
Yeah, I mean, it was a compounding factor. I thought the coach and the quarterback both really struggled. Again, I would have been encouraged on Sirianni, but the playoff game tips me into the discouraged. James, where do you come in? More encouraged or discouraged?
Encouraged for sure. Yeah. Again, I was not expecting anything from this guy. I came in at like totally unimpressed, and I think he did a really good job. I mean, they were 2-5, they were 3-6. Like, we all, the entire city was out on this guy, but the guys in the locker room weren't. They fought for him, they played for him, and yeah, it was an easy schedule, but not a great roster. I mean, I thought it was like a 6-7 win team going into the season from a roster perspective. I think you have to be encouraged.
All right, let's go to Will in Northeast Philly now. What's up, Will?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing well, Will.
I think Sirianni need to just like take Jalen and get him a quarterback coach, you know, and develop him.
Well, I'm sure that's probably in the cards for this offseason. I mean, they don't work with Jalen directly during this next couple months, but I'm sure that they have I mean, I'm not sure, but I would hope and think that they have recommended an off-season program for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback for us. And I think they just need to use the weapons that we got and develop them and coach. And Sirianni need to straight up coach, man. Like, he needs a guy, Jalen.
And I think he will. I love the way he's enthusiastic about this quarterback. It seems pretty clear that he really likes Jalen. He's been around a lot of quarterbacks. Like, this is the first time he's had a chance to coach a quarterback like this who's just so new to being a starter, new to football. Think about that. Coming from Phillip Rivers.
All those years. Jacoby Brissett, Brissett established.
It was Jacoby's second team.
Yeah.
He had been in New England prior.
Right.
You know, where they have pretty stringent standards
they
apply to these quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, this is a guy that and I do. I think there's a correlation here between what he gets to do with Jalen and what Andy Reid got to do with Donovan. They're both starting, you know, early in their careers as head coach and as quarterback, and they're going to grow together. I think that's a real positive thing.
All right, Will, something that's back. What do you got?
I think Snowfall is back.
It does seem like Snowfall is back.
Well, come on. I mean, it's seasonal.
It hadn't snowed for
Come on.
This winter.
I mean, you know, there's some winters we get clobbered. There's some we don't. I mean, come on. If anything, we probably get it less. Because of global warming. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm not buying that.
I was worried we weren't getting any.
I love snow. John, I'm just thinking about it. You know, the quarterback, there's definitely a lot of quarterback can work on in the offseason because, I mean, there's just so much more complexities with that position than others. I'm thinking, when you played, and I mean this is no offense, as a fullback, I mean, did you have very little to work on in the offseason? I mean, other than keeping yourself in shape enough for camp? Like,
well, no, I just stayed at the facility and worked out
catching drills.
Yeah, I mean, other than staying in shape and lifting and all that,
you do the OTAs.
How much studying did you have to do?
Oh, I didn't study much.
Oh, this guy had the life.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, he's a fullback. It's like, yo, go block that guy. Okay, sure, no problem.
Yeah, go block like linebackers that
are way bigger.
And
that's
you know,
a problem.
You know,
I'm just saying, compared to Jalen Hurts, I mean, Jalen Hurts is offseason.
I love the idea that going through OTAs and physically getting ready to be a football player is like, Joe would die like 10 minutes into whatever you had to do.
I did put a lot of work in, like, on the physical front. But in terms of, like, learning more about the game, I mean, was doing the same thing I had been doing at Stanford.
Exactly.
It was the same offense.
It's a lack of complexity. And I don't mean that to be rude. You had it down.
I'm just saying, I don't mean to be rude to you,
but James, it's not like reading a defense as a quarterback. I mean, it's a little.
Well, you do read a defense as a fullback.
With limited, you know.
I mean, you're reading the front. You do have to.
It's a bold move.
Am I blocking the front or am I blocking the back?
No.
Okay, it's one or
the difference
other.
Is, as a fullback, you have to know if it's man or zone.
Okay,
if he's running with you, it's man. And if he's dropping, it's zone. That's pretty much it.
Were you eating bananas back then?
Always. I think I've eaten banana like every day of my life.
Good for you.
Wow, that's aggressive.
Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. Up ahead, time's yours, plus more calls on 94WIP.
One of the things I love most about my Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the game that much more exciting. In football, you can bet passing yards, rushing yards, who scores touchdowns, and plus with live in-game betting and their awesome same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only sportsbook app I recommend. Sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching, or bet on any game. Download the app, get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA, use my promo code JRWIP, and then pro football, the late game on Sunday. Buffalo is getting 2 points in Kansas City, and I think Buffalo might be the better team. They're +106 on the money line to win straight up. The over-under is 54.5 points. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now. Bet with the best. The Park Sportsbook app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.